So what is your name? Either one.
John Lee.
And what's your occupation?
I'm a retired school teacher. Still do a few things. I drive a bus and coach tennis team. And
okay, where do you live?
In town.
Okay, and how old are you?
I'm 60.
Okay, and your name is?
Christy Lee.
And you live in the same place?
Yes, we do. There, yes, I do.
And what's your occupation?
City clerk.
And how old are you?
57.
Okay, so when did you first become aware of the Starbucks fire, hereafter referred simply as the fire in general?
Well, we heard about it when the first fire whistles went off, and I think that was about 10:30, 11. Might have even been before
11:45.
11:45. Knew that there was a fire down south of us. And started having people coming in because the wind was just crazy. Had started having people come into the city hall asking, what do we do on evacuation? Because evacuation had started being talked about. Told them I actually didn't know this would be my first time at this. And but I'm sure that probably whistles would blow continual and bullhorns would be going up and down the street by the law enforcement.
Okay. So when did you first hear?
I had actually gone to Hutchison the day before. Uh-huh. And was coming home on that day. And I ran into a fire over between Pratt and Greensburg over by the cotton gin, and was detoured around and then got on up to Buckland and turned south and started running into smoke. And so I made a phone call and was asking why was there smoke here, and was told that there was a fire way down south. And I was pretty surprised because the amount of smoke I was seeing, I thought if this fire is a long ways away, I shouldn't be seeing this. I thought maybe there was a fire closer than that.
Do you remember what time that was when you got to Buckland?
Oh, it was after lunch, maybe 1:30, 2 o'clock.
So did you evacuate either one of you?
We
no and yes.
I had gone when I got home, and the talk was just the fire and the smoke was getting thicker. I met up with a friend of mine, and we drove out in the country to see what we could see. And at one point, we did see the fire across the Inglewood Highway. And so I'm like, previous to this, I mean, yeah, there was a lot of smoke. But in my mind, I wasn't really grasping what it actually was. And then when we saw the flames, I mean, when we saw it, what we saw wasn't huge. But it had jumped the highway and was moving. And Christy calls me and says, they're evacuating town. And she's like, I've got the dogs loaded up already.
And well, this was later in the day because I didn't leave the office for a while.
What time did you leave the office? Do you remember? Because the evacuation came at 3:40 for Ashland.
It was probably close to 4:30 or 5 because
I think that's right.
Nick Johnson came by and said, Christy, you got to leave. And I said, I can't. I said, my phone is still ringing asking for help, and I need to be here.
Because I had gone out and had driven around for a while.
So what kind of questions were people asking you?
Where do we go? Which way do we need to go? Is this a true evacuation? What is the extent? I even had people from out of town call me and say, Christy, what is going on? And I talked to him and told him that they were evacuating Ashland due to fire. And I said, we've got another one coming in from the north. At that time, that one from the north had started up and was coming in on us. And
did you talk to law enforcement?
No.
Did you talk to the emergency preparedness people?
No.
Okay, where were you getting your information?
Kendall finally came over, and because they never really did make contact with the city. But Kendall said that Kendall is our mayor, and that he had finally been hearing things, and then I guess they'd talked to one of the city guys, which then the city guys called Kendall. So then Kendall called John. He said, look, we've not been actually officially notified. And so then we were actually officially notified, and so then we started procedures of moving stuff. I still, like I said, I didn't leave the office for a while. I did a bunch, did a couple of backups of my computer, our permanent records. We, Arcelli and I, put in the back part of our vault. We started getting the office prepared for the worst. And we, our cemetery stuff, all of that stuff, we had to start moving stuff.
So your vault upstairs?
Yes.
Okay. So when did you finally go home? Do you know?
Finally, I think as things finally quieted down a little bit closer to 5, and I finally locked the doors then. I went home and loaded up our dogs just to get ready. I knew there was some major issues, but I guess maybe naive, I still thought we would be okay. And so we did leave town and eat supper.
Which direction did you go?
We went to the west. We didn't go east. Okay. We went west to Mineola and then on over to Fowler and ate supper. And then when they said they were starting to shut things down, I looked at John and I said, John, we got to get back into town. I've got to be back in town. And he said, we will make it.
So how'd you come back?
We came up to the 11-mile corner.
Yeah.
And there was people stopped everywhere.
They were blocking us.
And, you know, that's where they were shutting them down. Uh-huh. And was talking to one of the state highway people that was flagging. And they told us that there was a highway patrolman or a police officer a mile or two up the road towards Ashland, and they said, you will not get through that way. And they were like, you know, we can't give you permission to leave, but with her really needing to get back, and I, you know, had issues with some things that we needed to do, and I was definitely of the opinion we needed to be back.
So what time are you talking?
It wasn't totally dark yet, so.
Like maybe 7?
Yeah, it was starting to get dark. Mm-hmm. And we just turned and went south about a mile and hit that dirt road and came in on the dirt.
There was one bad spot that we went through.
Smoke. Yeah.
Smoke, and there were some flames right there alongside the road, but we made it through and got on into town.
So you came Old Highway 40 all the way, mm-hmm, and came in by the dump?
Dump.
Okay. And then when you got back into town, did you go to your house or did you go to the city hall?
We went on to the house.
You started gathering.
I started going ahead and gathering some stuff. A lot of my daddy's paperwork and things like that, and some pictures of John's mother's that I knew were irreplaceable, that we probably didn't have negatives. I started gathering some stuff up. John started helping me, and we just set stuff by the door. We left the dogs all kenneled in case if we had to hurry and grab them. And then we went over to our property over on the east side of town, and we kept watching the flames. And there was still some people in town and that were helping each other, mm-hmm, and kept visiting. If something got bad, we were hurrying and calling it in, trying to get help.
Did you call in dispatch?
The people that I never did actually go ahead and call dispatch, but after we talked to a couple of people, they said they just had. Usually it was right there with Kirk and Woodruff and some of them. So
you're mainly calling each other on cell phone?
We're mainly talking to each... Well, we were actually talking to each other there. JR and Kirk and all of us were right there together for a little bit talking.
So how close did it come on that east side where you were at?
Within...
We were...
100, 200 feet, really.
It was... when we'd gone out, we moved camper and tractor and stuff like that out into the middle of the green wheat field.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We were moving stuff,
and
so...
I put sprinklers on the buildings. Mm-hmm. And then just sit there and watch it come. And it... It crossed east of us probably, I don't know, 300 yards, maybe 350, 400 yards, and just kept going south. But because the wind was pushing it south, I mean, there was still a lot of CRP back towards us on the north side of the road, but that was like a back burn. It was coming into town, mm-hmm. there, but it was moving slowly. And we called,
dispatch,
and they're like, we don't have anybody sent out.
Yeah. So, like, when you came back from the west, had the wind already shifted? Or even before you left town at 5, had the wind shifted, and was it coming out of the north then? Had it gotten cold?
I want to say it shifted after we got back. Because it seemed like when I left City Hall, too, it was still just blowing like a banshee from the south.
I think it was later when it shifted.
It was later, it seemed like, when it shifted. He wasn't home yet when I first got home, and so I started driving around, and I went out west of town just a little bit, and I looked down, and I thought, oh my gosh, I'm on empty. And I'd gotten about to the tower, and mm-hmm. I turned around and came back in, and that last hill, I'm going to say this, that last hill, I think this is when it finally started hitting me. When I come over that last hill, I couldn't see town. It was gone. Mm-hmm. It was covered in smoke.
What color was the smoke?
Brown. I mean, it was brown.
Could you see any flames?
No, could not see any flames because I was looking, you know, towards town at that point in time. I did not see any flames.
Yeah, the flames weren't close to town yet.
But it was just the smoke. You could not see town. And so I went ahead and pulled in. Lawson was getting fuel at the same time I was, and I wheeled back on around to the house, and John showed up. And I said, well, what do we want to do? And he said, well, I think we need to stay. And I said, well, we can go eat supper with the kids and come back.
Yeah. Did you have any trouble getting gas?
No.
So the card machine wasn't screwing up at that time?
No. Okay.
Did you get it in town?
Mm-hmm. At AP Energy, yeah.
Okay,
at
so
a convenience store.
Like when you were on the east side of town, was that like about 10 o'clock, midnight?
Yeah, I was
good.
Did you
stay out most of the night?
I stayed,
we did.
We stayed out till about, I don't know, 3 o'clock.
3 or 4 o'clock. Well, we went home once, and then the house even started filling with smoke. So we got back out, and you can even hardly see across the street. And so we got back in the vehicle, and so it was probably a good 4:30 when we finally...
Did you have any trouble breathing?
A little bit.
How'd your dogs react to the fire? Or the smoke?
They hunkered down. They didn't...
They wanted to be close to us.
They wanted to be close to us. They knew something was going on and wanted to try to make sure they were where we were at. So we just kept all of them close to us when we were home. And after a bit, we split. You went in your pickup and I went in mine. And I just kept driving the perimeter, checking things. And if I saw something, I'd holler at somebody.
So, like, what were you checking?
I was just watching to see how close it was getting to town.
How far out did you go?
I just stayed right on the perimeter. There once I went out.
So like you went out to Kentucky Street?
Uh-huh. I'd go to Kentucky, go down Santa Fe, and then I would zigzag between Cedar and Chestnut. And go
and
back
how
up.
How far east? Just You stayed inside the city limits?
I pretty well stayed inside the city limits. I started to go out east, and I saw the flames just right there. You know, I don't know how we saved the east side of town. I just knew it was going to get in those trees, though, in the creek. And probably the wheat and some of that helped. And then a truck did get there and help us on some, or we probably would have
lost. A fire truck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when the fire truck got there, they were able to put that backburn out really quick because the wind was still going to the south, and this was coming to the west, so it wasn't fast, and they were able to put that out pretty quick.
So the wind kind of went down from what it had been, like at, say, 4 or 5
later,
o'clock?
Later, early in the morning it did.
In the morning it did. It still blew for quite a while into the night. But, yeah, we kept staying. And then I was amazed, you know, of course, when people left, they just grabbed stuff and left. Front doors open, lights might be on. So I just started zigzagging some through town, checking, making sure nobody was where they wasn't. I'd see a couple of people going into their house who needed, that belonged there. Never did see anything out of place.
Did you see any, like sheriff's officers in town during the night?
You would see one every now and then, yes.
Was it Clark County or was it another county?
I couldn't tell you because it was dark. I know a couple of times, I think one was our Clark County.
Yeah.
And then, of course, a lot of activity up at the command post. So, but...
So did you go to bed finally?
Yeah. Or? About 5 o'clock.
Yeah, finally we did.
When we decided that...
You know, we thought we were passed through the worst, you know.
Yeah.
I know every time I did a perimeter, I kept would watch, and I say, okay, if we need to get, which way do we get out of here, you know.
So what did you decide?
It was always going out south of town off of Kentucky. It seemed like it's after that sort of veered off, it seemed like that was the clear spot. Now, once we got further out, it might not have been, but it seemed like that was the spot to go because otherwise we were clear surrounded.
So what did you do first on Tuesday? Did you go to work?
I went to work. Sort of touched base with Doug. We started reviewing things that we needed to do who didn't have electricity because we serve people outside of city limits, too. I think if I remember right, we lost a total of 21 poles. We were trying to get, like, Kellenberger's cotton balls and some of them on going north out on Lake Road, trying to get them sort of going again and getting some service there. I didn't really open up, but I had the front door open if people came in and needed help.
Did you have lots of people stop?
We had a few, not very many, though. A lot of people were still, the town was just soot, and the wind still then was blowing then again that morning. Mm-hmm. The air was dirty. It looked like dusk again. They finally started letting people back into town. And so when I first went and I was just looking around, it was just like a ghost town. It was heartbreaking. Very heartbreaking.
So what did you do Tuesday?
I got up and Michael Schatz and I drove off out in the country and started driving around looking.
What kind of things did you see?
Total devastation. I mean, everything was charred. Probably the hardest thing was seeing all the dead cattle and everything. And, I mean, it's just like there was nowhere for them to go.
Did you see any that were still living?
At a distance, we just stayed right on the road.
Yeah.
So we couldn't tell what kind of shape they were in. But, I mean, you know, when you run onto them, I mean, they would just, no hair, bloated, just, and everything's black around, you know. It's.
So which ways did you go out of town? Did you go everywhere? Did you go west?
We pretty much made a circle. I mean, we went out, we drove, you know, down south and went out, turned, went over by Kirby Pike's area, and then on over east, Matt Wilson area, went north, went up through some of Giles, and just...
So how'd you feel? How'd that make you feel? I mean, when you saw that?
It was unbelievable. I mean, and like I said earlier, you know, when this all was coming, in my mind, I couldn't really grasp. Why would you have to leave town? It can't burn up a whole town, in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd never seen a fire like that either.
Yeah.
You know? And then when we get out the next day, and I mean, there was nothing around that didn't get it, you know, I mean.
Yeah.
So like I said, just total.
Like when you drove out on the highway going east, clear out to Wilson's, I mean, how'd that, and Giles, where there's no houses anymore.
Yeah, still it's weird. I mean, you know, out there on Giles, we found where the bridge had just burned out, you know. I think they lost a police car there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the car was still down in there. You know, how he got out alive, I'll never know. You know, after seeing it.
Yeah.
And it was just, I mean, it's kind of like if you've ever gone in somewhere after a bad tornado and it looks like somebody just set a bomb off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just total devastation. Well, this is more or less the same thing, except that there's not much left. I mean, the other way, there's a lot of rubble and trash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is just stuff that's finishing burning and already charred.
Did you run into any flames still?
Yeah.
What stuff was burning?
There was out there by Kirby Pike's place. Those tree rows were right up along the road. And we went through there, and after we got into some heavy smoke, I start thinking we probably shouldn't have done that. But we were able to get through the smoke without, you know, we were watching the sides of the road carefully, and because you really couldn't see in front of you, it was so thick.
Yeah. So what's your most vivid memory of the fire?
Probably my most vivid memory is sitting out there on the east side of town up on the hill, and all you see is fire. I mean, you look north, there's fire up there. It had already come by us on the east. It was east of us. It was south of us. It was back on the west. It's like the world was on fire.
Could you see any lights of people out fighting or on the perimeter? Could you see, like, car lights or nothing?
I think that night, probably in different places, I know we saw flashing lights, you know.
But smoke was too dense?
But, you know.
It was still smoky, funky.
So what's your most vivid memory?
I would have to probably say is just in the different spots when I was by myself and I'd go and sit and watch it. And it's like you said, as far as you could see, there was flame. And when it was over here on the east side and I pulled up there and I looked, it was shooting up so high over by our plant and right there in that area that it was shooting up so high, I thought, oh, dear Lord, how are we going to survive this?
Yeah.
And we did, and we are. But I think that right there, seeing those flames shooting up so high and right there in that area,
mm-hmm.
just really stuck in my mind. Lori Cryer got an awesome picture of that right there back behind our light plant. And So I think that, and then just when you go to set and just you would see it go, you know, they'd get it because there was a couple of trucks in town by that time, and you'd sit there and you'd see it start working its way in, and then they'd get it out, and then you'd hear it would come again. It was just like it wouldn't leave us alone.
So did you end up losing anything in the fire?
We didn't.
No, we did not.
Okay. So do you have any knowledge or previous experience of wildfires or prescribed range burning or have any history of wildfires in your family?
No.
So just kind of like what we normally have.
I think that's probably why it was so hard for me to grasp it.
Never. I mean, we had a outbuilding one time catch on fire when we lived out in the country, but that was nothing compared to what we've experienced that night. So
how would you describe your emotional response to the fire, and have you done anything to cope with that since the fire? Have you talked to people or?
Well, we talked a lot to people. I think it sort of gets things out. I wasn't able to get out of town for quite a while. I stayed in town. I helped our city guys with meals, tried to make sure, because we were all working long hours. Tried to make sure they had lunch, because they would sometimes work through the lunch hour, and then they would work on into the evening, so I'd make sure there was stuff at the plant or take it to them and just try to help them too, because I was in and out of the office. I would go to the command post. I went to the command post then that Tuesday morning too to make sure that everything, and they said if they needed help, they would holler at me, and I said okay, because I said I'll be willing to help where needed. And just taking the phone calls, the messages, because then the outpour donation started in. We had some donations dropped off at the city hall.
So did you get a lot of calls through the week?
Yes.
So you went really back to work Tuesday and worked all your regular hours mostly?
Wednesday was probably back to really regular hours. Tuesday we were in and out, and when I'd leave I'd just lock up the office. Tuesday, with Matt and Janae losing houses, Arcelli just, I told her, you go help family. So then Wednesday she came back, and then that helped me. She would stay, and I kept moving back and forth. So Wednesday the office was open all day. Thursday, I ended up working at the command post Thursday all day until 8 that night. Helped them out there with logging calls.
So what kind of donations did you receive at City Hall?
That one from the Kansas Lions Association had shovels, brooms, buckets, gloves, masks, tarps.
So what did you do with it?
That Sunday, I stayed in town. I didn't go to church. I'd gotten a call for some donations. There was some other stuff, some clothes, some coats, and things like that, jackets. And I'd gotten a phone call, so I went and met them down at the office and helped them with a jacket. Because the flames did make it on into Englewood, and there was 5 homes destroyed. And so I was helping a family there get some stuff that had been donated. Talked to Ryan, my son, and I said, you know, I said a lot of this stuff is needed out there, but they're so busy they're not going to be able to come into town to get it. So Ryan and I, we loaded up his pickup and we loaded up my pickup with a lot of supplies, and then we went and got a bunch of water from the high school. We loaded everything down, and we just started going to the houses. We started out in south part of the county, just started going, Gardner's, you know, McCarty's, and Bedridge. You know, we just started hitting houses and started leaving a little bit at each place. until we were totally empty there, and then came back in. We loaded up again, and then we started going out on the north side. We went to Giles, Kirk's, Rich's, Strodman's. We left a bunch there at Rich's, and they said they would get them on to John and Lisa Moore and on out to some of those places. So, you know, some of them, finally when they realized it, they said, you know, you didn't even think about it, but we didn't even have a bucket.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't even have a bucket to help with anything.
Those people that had, like, a house or a shed burn,
mm-hmm.
did they have electricity? Or did they lose their electricity?
There was some that didn't have it. But for the most part, by that Sunday, if they hadn't, they had gotten it back. I know out at Kirk's, their shed, they had some windows out, and a tractor had burned up, and they were able to save their house, but you could see the burn line went clear up to their house. It was just amazing. The Lord was with them on saving their home.
Yeah.
And everything. It was amazing. And then it was, when we were driving through, it was like, why didn't that burn when it was moving from the north? But that was on the north side, but the south side burned, but this one patch of north didn't burn. It was amazing on some of the burn line and what we witnessed that Sunday.
So what were you doing during the week?
I would just try and help anybody that needed anything. Like I said, we didn't lose anything. You know, all I could feel was empathy for other people. I felt we were very blessed. We were very lucky.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if I could help anybody in any way, you know, yeah. I would do that.
So, what were some of the people, or who were some of the people or agencies that proved most helpful with the fire and after the fire?
You know, I don't know. You know, a lot of it was food issues. You know, by Wednesday, we had a lot of volunteers. We had strike teams in. We had, you know, the high school stepped up way above and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
I commend them greatly. The organization part, things are going to be so chaotic. But when I was in the command post that Thursday and talking to some of the state people and stuff, it's chaotic. But, you know, they commended us. They commended Millie greatly. You know, it was chaotic. There was times when you just, you know, sitting in there Thursday listening to some of their stories because I was out and wasn't with them, just was unreal. You know, you feel helpless. You know, so started feeding, making sure people fed, agencies, Ashland Community Foundation, you know, for a lot of the donation. School taking on the material donations. We took on a lot there at City Hall. We finally even just started feeding. You know, we had so many volunteers.
Did you volunteer to help down at the camp?
Yes.
And what did you do at the camp?
I did everything and anything possible to make sure those volunteers were taken care of.
And was this mainly after you got through with your main job?
I got through with my main job at 5 o'clock, and I immediately went down to the camp.
And she didn't. She never came home. I wouldn't usually see her until about 11 o'clock at night.
You know, it just, we had to make sure those people were filled, you know.
So, Matt, how many people did you feed a night? Do you have an idea?
Right there in the beginning, there was probably times we fed over 100 people. I know there on the weekends, it seemed like there was more. There was one weekend we had a chartered bus came in from Michigan, and the people that we met were just amazing, such a blessing, you know, and so appreciative that we were feeding them. I know that one night, though, that weekend, we probably served 200, 230, 50 people. We fed a big group. We had, you know, invited the firemen to come and eat with us and some of the community people to come and eat too, let alone with the volunteers that night. But
how long did you feed volunteers at the camp and house them?
We did it to March, April.
To the end of May?
End of May. It did get sort of less, you know, right there towards the end, but for the first 2 months, we were there every night. There's a lot of times a group, we think we'd have them all in, and we'd picked up and cleaned up, and here we come 10 more. You feed them. You drag everything back out, and you feed them.
So who all helped at the camp? Were there specific churches or organizations that helped?
It varied. There was people that might show up, you know, and would help. Mel was one of the main ones. I was one of the main ones. Rock was one of the main ones. Rock usually would do breakfast, and a lot of times after we'd get supper done, we would fix breakfast for him. Some of the kids were in there, like Emily Berryman would come in and help. She wanted to help doing a lot of stuff. So some of the young kids were involved. Let's see. Pam Harden came in and helped a lot. Duranda was in.
Are these mostly people that have full-time jobs that came after their full-time job to work?
Yeah. And there was some...
Where'd all the food come from?
It was donated. A lot of that food was donated. It was amazing the outpour of food came. And then they fixed up a monetary account at the grocery store that where if we didn't have something we needed, people were donating to the grocery store to help us to feed them, and we could go into the grocery store and grab.
Do you have any idea about what a dollar amount of food that was came through and went out of the camp?
No. There would be no way I could have tallied that up.
So tell me what a regular meal would have been like if you were fixing supper.
Well, there was one night we fixed spaghetti baked spaghetti and green beans and corn and a roll. The desserts come in, we'd have desserts, and we'd fixed up, you know, there was one pickup load that came in that had a lot of salad stuff, so we had to use it up. A lot of our perishable stuff like that we used pretty quickly. We had a salad bar type deal set up for them. The plates, the napkins, silverware, stuff just kept rolling in. Sometimes a semi-truck would come in with hay, and they'd have a truck with supplies coming in. I mean, from everywhere.
Like
and they
paper
would have
goods?
Them, yeah, and they'd have them bring it in. We'd stored a lot over at the chapel, and then we ended up with stuff still at City Hall.
Did they ever run out of paper goods or stuff while they were...
Think so. We still have some plates and stuff, you know, even there, and food that is still there at house at City Hall. The Mennonite crew, when they come in here a couple, 3 months ago and fed the crew and worked around out of the Hardesty house, they would come over and get food and plates and napkins and toilet paper and stuff like that to help feed their, take care of the crew while they were here helping the community. We still got stuff in the bays, quilts and...
Yep. Can you perceive of anything positive that resulted from the fire?
Something positive?
Mm-hmm. It's people helping people.
I think of us all, everybody pulling together. You know, there wasn't... anyone that I can think of off the top of my head, even if they did lose something, that wasn't willing to help somebody else. Because when it came down to it, I think we all considered everybody family. And the prayers, you know, even those who lost stuff said God was still with them. So
what can you do or have you done to prepare for another, like, emergency or fire or tornado? Has this made you kind of look at what you would evacuate with?
It has. try to get more of my important papers closer together instead of sort of scattered. And because then I got thinking, I don't even know where that insurance policy's at. So, yeah, it does make you think on stuff like that. You need to be getting your important papers and gathered up. And I had, you know, like I said, I had all my father's stuff gathered because I deal with his day in and day out. But our own personal stuff, just try to help get stuff gathered, take pictures of what you have on your house and your walls.
So did you think of something like when you got back and thought, oh, hey, if we'd burnt,
we would have lost this.
Yeah. Do you have a couple of those type items?
Yeah, he probably does.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
A couple of guns.
Hunting and fishing and
my outdoor stuff, you know, and in a quick situation like that, there's no way to get it all.
Yeah.
No.
You know, and I mean, when it comes down to it, you know, if you're in the worst spot and you get out with your life, you did good.
Yep.
The other stuff can be replaced.
I think the hugs were very special.
What about the stars that came later?
I love the stars. We went to that program when Jeff was here and presented those. It was amazing. We've got another box of stars that I've got that was delivered to City Hall that I still have. I've got to get them out. And I thought, if anything, just even get them to the Montana people and the Oregon people and stuff that have been fighting fires and stuff. But, you know, it just lets you know that there is still hope.
So is there anything you think the community could do to prepare for a fire or could do better next time since we've had this experience?
I don't know about the community
itself,
but I have actually heard people talk about, well, you know, like the Flint Hills, mm-hmm. you know, where they have a lot of growth out through there. You know, they burn some of that stuff every year.
Right.
And, you know, I heard some people talking, you know, maybe we should do a little bit of that, you know, to keep things down so that if something got bad again, it wouldn't be as bad.
Yeah. I have heard that discussion also. Just try to do some of our own cleanup before something like that would happen and
get
really preventative cleanup before something would happen again. But I know, you know, our houses and vehicles smelt like smoke for weeks and weeks. And
oh, yeah.
The suit that came in off the, I mean, it just littered everything.
What'd you think of the smell for that week after the fire?
It was more than a week.
Yeah, it was more than a week.
You know, it was probably three or four weeks. 3 weeks after I walked out one day, you know, in the morning, and I told her, I said, I'm really getting sick and tired of this smell.
Yeah.
It wasn't the same every day, though, was it?
No, but I think some days it was stronger than others. Maybe depends on the wind direction or whatever. But after we started finally getting the rain, I mean.
But even the rain, when it started raining, didn't smell like rain for a long time. It was it was quite a while after the first few rains that it still even, it just stunk.
Yeah.
So I was never so glad when probably the 12th or 15th rain that we got, it finally started smelling like rain again. And then everything, it's just like everything started greening up and started looking so nice and beautiful and pretty, and it just shows that there is still goodness comes out of the darkness.
So yesterday, September 19th, the wind blew pretty heavily.
Mm-hmm.
What was your reaction or thoughts about that? Did it bring back the fire?
I hope there's nothing going to spark.
We had a tennis meet.
Yeah,
and we weren't enjoying the wind either.
I can imagine. Yeah, so.
Yeah, it just gave you a weird feeling, and you were just sort of on edge a little, you know, and you start having flashbacks a little. So I still can't look through that book that Lori did, Surrounded by Fire, without crying. I still can't look at it without crying. So,
and that's mostly town pictures.
Those are mostly town pictures. And when anybody starts talking on the animals, I can't handle it.
It's a lot.
Yes.
So, do you have any other thoughts about this experience that you'd like to share? Any other things that...
The only other thing I can think of is that we just got to try to make sure we can pay it forward.
The amount of help and stuff, and
the stories that you hear, and you can reach out and touch somebody. You know, we only lost the truck driver, you know, but you can reach out and still touch. You know, when the Greensburg tornado happened, there was 11 of our church families that lost their stuff. And John and I was in there quite a while helping our families clean up, our church families clean up. And it's like John said, at least, you know, here there was nothing. And there was so much debris there in Greensburg. And I can remember when we would drive in, I'd start bawling. We'd get to work. We'd get to helping. And I would bawl all the way home. Because I kept thinking, I have a house to walk into, and they don't. But then this affected our stuff, too. And I think it just hit me more. You know, that we got to pay it forward. Be there to help each other and to love each other and support each other and help each other to keep going. That's one thing I've learned from this. So,
any other thoughts?
I'm not as emotional as she is.
Oh, thank you for your time and sharing your experiences with us.
Thank you.